Berean Memorial Church, rallying to the Berean Ministry segment number 12. Berean Church has a variety of ministries, as we all know, and they are based upon the Bible. That is a great thing to be able to say. There are many ministries, church ministries, religious ministries, that are anything but based upon the Word of God. They're nothing but human viewpoint operations. And we thank God that when a church wants to go God's way, He is there to bless and honor and respect. We have had a request for the outreach now of the evangelism brochure in French. And that translation has been completed. We've been sitting it, holding it on hold, and we're going to turn it loose. The Seafarers Ministry in Florida would have a great use for the French version, so we're going to move it to them and move it to our missionaries up in Quebec, Canada, where both these, where the French language is the prominent language, and those are cultures. France, of all the nations of the world, are among the most benighted spiritually. They have never gotten over their revolution where they exalted the goddess of freedom, which was the pagan goddess that they substituted for the true God. So what we are doing here is no small thing. And we mention these things to you knowing that your money is not going down a rat hole, that your money has great significance, and that you should be aware of the fact that you are investing for eternity. The parking lot sidewalk operation amazes me. People are asking. $15,000 gift would about set us in motion for possibly some of the sidewalk work now. The main work has to be done when the asphalt can be handled better in the warmer weather when we get back down to the spring. But in any case, the fact that people say God's place should look better than what it does now. And why is that? Because all of our ministries are based on a location, and this is it. Without it, we couldn't operate. So please remember that our ministries are not only based upon the Word of God, but they are based upon the fact that there are positive, volition, faithful people who are supporting that ministry and who esteem it, and therefore God is prospering it. It is what we do here that enables youth and adults to become Christ-like in body and mind. Every church should be doing this, and every Christian has the right to know how to walk into the presence of God someday and for the Lord our God to recognize in us the image of His Son. We have been calling ourselves to rally to certain ministries that are devoted to that objective of Christ-likeness, Sunday morning and the evening church services, the weekly Wednesday night prayer meeting, the Sunday Christian Education Ministries or Sunday School and Training Union. And now we're looking at the weekday ministries. First of all, we have looked at Berean Christian Academy. Now we direct your attention to another weekday ministry, the Berean Youth Clubs. This is a ministry which has had many, many lives invested in it on the adult level. And not only here, but far abroad beyond us. Mrs. Danish and I were at a Young Life campaign retreat in Colorado Springs at the ranch there, Frontier Ranch, in the days when Rayburn was still alive, the founder of Young Life campaign. And at that time, I was working through the Boy Scout manual and what I thought was what we needed in the outreach of that day when people were more receptive. They lived here, they could come here, they could do things with us. And as you know, those days we were running kids by the scores through this place. And I'm trying to work through a scouting program which will have a biblical orientation. Mrs. Danish speaking to a lady from Tahlequah, Oklahoma, who was also attending the Young Life the Young Life campaign retreat, And she says, oh, you know, there's a group in Chicago. It's called Christian Service Brigade. And they have a sister organization called Pioneer Girls, a scouting group which has been designed in order to bring about a Christian scouting program where the Word of God was integrated into all the scouting activities. Joe Coughlin was a student at Wheaton College. Suburban of Wheaton, Illinois, is Glenn Allen. He was the one who got a group of boys together. He had the heart and began a boys' organization, and out of that evolved Christian Service Brigade. As far as I know, Coughlin is still alive, and he has been into all kinds of extended ministries, taking brigade into Latin American countries. And after he dropped off from being the president, the head of Christian Service Brigade, went down to Costa Rica and started the Escuadrón program there. And I was looking at a series of pictures of the directors of Christian Service Brigade. And when we came on board, it was Grendorf was the man who was leading it. He was downtown Chicago on Wacker Drive. And when I got back from Tahlequah, Oklahoma, I shot right down there and went up, took the elevator up. There's their little office that they're operating out of. And I met Grendorf, told him what I was interested in, I'd like to know about his program. And bingo, sure enough, there it was. Not as sophisticated as it is now, but there was a boys' program ready to roll. And Berean Church became part of Christian Service Brigade. And we had people on staff here then that I could show the program to, got it rolling. And the result was that the ministry for youth, boys and girls, became a great reality. And because we were pioneers in the operation, we were in on the foundation of many things. One of the 7 points of valor was consecration. Well, consecration is a significant act, but it is an act of God. It is not an act of man, basically. Man can, in some degree, be said to consecrate as God is enabling and guiding him. But what we do is we dedicate. We dedicate what we have. We dedicate our time, our talents, our treasures to Almighty God. So what we should be doing is dedicating. I was on the board of Christian Service Brigade at that time, and at one of our board meetings, I pointed this out, that we might want to consider changing that consecration to dedication, and gave them some of the biblical basis, and immediately they said, now that's right, this would be more accurate, and it was changed. And the last point of the 7 points of valor became dedication. We were in the early days of some of the outings, and when the camp in northern the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, the Northwoods Advanced Training Camp was open. Lo and behold, they said, we don't want just one of our staff. We want somebody in the field to come and dedicate this place. And what we hope to do, and give us a vision from somebody who's out in the field who's been using our program. And by that time, we'd had our first 4 Heralds of Christ and clicking along with Pioneer Girls with the Explorer Club in the top ranks there. And we were closely associated with Brigade. And Joe Buber was then the head, and he knew us well. I knew him, and they had shifted from downtown Chicago out to Wheaton, Illinois, and then out to where they are now, in an adjoining suburb. And somebody at the meeting said, "Well, what about Dr. Danish down in Texas? They have more Heralds of Christ than anybody." Their program is is a major part of their ministry. It's not just something that goes along on the side. It's what we'd like to see all of our groups be. And so it ended up that I was asked to go up and be the dedicatory speaker at the Northwoods the Northwoods dedication. And there was Sam Gray and Swanson and others of these men. And as I looked at their pictures, boy, the memories came flooding back. And I realized again, these were lives, human lives, which had been invested because they had a heart and a love for boys. And on the girls' level, for the girls. So when we say Berean Youth Clubs, it's not just a fun and games operation, and it is not just something that just anybody put together. It was an act of God, and it was put together by some real pioneers who had a vision for a scouting program in which God was in preeminence. And so that's what we have in the Berean Youth Clubs, and that's how it eventuated. And then in the providence of God, because the clubs were operating and were a significant ministry, all out of the what is now our library, very limited area, it inspired a Christian businessman in Dallas who had had previous association with this church even before I came on the scene to give us the means to put up this building. And again, the grace of God was demonstrated. He's with the Lord now, and what he put into this room this very night will accrue to his eternal rewards. Such an easy way to get rich in heaven, to invest for eternity. We invest in things on this earth, and it goes sour, and we lose the investment. But with God, Scripture says he will never forget our work of love. And indeed, all these leaders we have in the Berean Youth Clubs and over the years, God will never forget their work of love. And some of you are sitting here as young adults who yourselves were once kids in these clubs and have grown to maturity and have children of your own that you're moving toward the same direction of a boy growing up to be a man, not a twit, and of a girl growing up to be a woman, someone who is attractive and who is godly. So Berean Youth Clubs, should your kids be in it? Should we esteem the opportunity? Yes, we should. And we should give it the honor that it and the respect that it deserves so that we're not absent. Our kids just grow up knowing that come their club night, that's where they're going to be. And they're going to be there on time. And their parents know that this is a work of God, and they'll move hell and high water to see that the kids are there. No child with divine viewpoint parents is going to be permitted to be absent for other things. And there are always those competition. Here are these school things. Here are these other organizations. Here are things of the world. And it still goes on. I cannot believe what people tell me that their kids are doing, what they have substituted in the lives of their kids for something like being part of the achievement program here in the Berean Youth Clubs. Things that have no eternal significance. That is what we're rallying to. And parents are responsible for supervising, promoting the participation of their kids in the achievement program. The achievements are significant. They are a relationship with an adult leader. They are a relationship in the lives of these boys and these girls that is a transfer in time to their relationship with Christ. So that's what's significant about a Christian scouting organization. And what we are doing is leading these kids, training them for a godly social life. Do kids need to be trained today for a godly social life? I recently had a parent say to me, my daughter, we have her in a Christian school. They live someplace else. And she says, why can't I go to the public school? I hate it at the Christian school. And here is the rebellion against righteousness that is innate in a kid. And the parents said, I told her that while she's under my care and my responsibility, she will go to the Christian school. And that's the way it should be. And the result will be that girl is going to be protected from who knows what kind of injury that she has no idea is potentially out there. But her parents do. So we don't just throw this around and as if it were just a plaything, so that if they miss a meeting, well, that's all right. It's amazing how many faces of young people who should be even now here in this auditorium we don't see. And we wonder, what are their parents thinking? What are their parents teaching them about how important this Sunday evening ministry is, let alone the club ministry? Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us out of this present evil age. That's why we have Berean Youth Clubs. We live in this present evil age. And it is a cesspool of corruption. And it is not something that parents can just handle by themselves. They need Christian men and Christian women in the social life of their kids to guide them into a godly way of life. So therefore, Berean Youth Clubs, the meetings, the activities should be part of your lifestyle. And parents who do this, oh yeah, the kid can turn his back on it. They may at a time reject it, but at least you open the door to what they knew was better. And when it comes to campouts, how many times have parents said, gee, you can't go on a campout, we got something at school. Don't give me that stuff. I've been through this four times, and I made it clear to you're going to be in band, fine. You're going to be in some athletic program, fine. You tell the coach, you tell the director right off the bat that at certain times of the year you are in a Christian boys organization, a Christian girls organization, and you will be out on campouts, special events, and if they conflict with what the organization is going to do, you'll have to go with what you're going to have to go with your club ministry. That will take priority. And there was a time when you talked to band directors and coaches that they would say, okay, especially if the kid was a good player or a good athlete, they'd say, we'll work it out. One of the first times we had one of our ski trips to Winter Park, Colorado. Public schools running another week. So I had to go over to the school to ask for special permission for 2 or 3 days off from the end of the school. But just before the Christmas vacation, so that these kids in high school could go with us on the ski trip. And so they directed me to the man who was in charge of this over at Irving High. And I told him what our situation was, and that it was a ski trip, but it was a church group, and it was a very biblically oriented trip. We have a Vesper service every night, have an intense Bible study program, and it is a time of Christian fellowship, and it's a family group. Parents are there, the kids are there, and that we will have a bus full of people going. And he said, well, I understand. And there's no problem. We will give them an excuse. Dr. Danish, you just tell their parents to call and request it. So I'm up at Winter Park one day, and I'm down at the lodge. And we usually come in off the slopes, and we go in and have lunch together. And I'm coming in, and lo and behold, I'm chatting with some of our kids, and I look around, and there's this very man who checked us out on the ski trip. He's there with some of his people. That was an easy fix. I wondered why he was so gracious. He had just excused himself. Those were the good old days. But he understood that we were serious about an event like this. When our campouts come, these things that the clubs do, we don't go someplace else. And this is always athletics, always the kill of athletics, the most disastrous thing in the life of a kid when it can't be just for fun. It has to be all-consuming. So dignify the Berean Youth Clubs in the eyes of your children, and this is what we miss a lot now. It was very strong in previous eras of the Berean Youth Club, and that is the missionary spirit among the kids. They were zealous to talk to their friends and say, I'm part of a boys' club. How about coming down to the girls' club? We meet down here at Berean Youth Clubs. And these kids acted as missionaries with their friends, and that's why we were running the number of children that we were bringing in each week. So we need to pray that the Berean Youth Clubs will be rallied to as a missionary outreach. I'm not sure how to, in our present evil age, it's harder than ever, how to have the greater outreach so that parents realize this is a place for their kids to be. This is the association that their children need in the devil's world today. But Jesus pointed out a principle that we must face and which perhaps takes precedent before we can rally to anything else. In Luke chapter 10, verse 2, the Lord was sending out 70 disciples, sending them out two by two as missionaries and outreach to all the cities around the land of Israel and places where Jesus himself was going. Verse 2 says, as he spoke to these men, these 70, he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The harvest of pioneer girls here at Berean Church is plentiful and will become more so. But the laborers are few. Now you cannot do something that God has not called you to. You cannot do something that your circumstances of one kind or another in life do not permit you to do. And you cannot do something that you don't have a heart for or that you're not qualified to do. But if you are and you have the freedom, then here's to remember that the harvest is there, but it'll stay there. It'll die on the vine, on the stalk, unless there are leaders, boys, for men, girls, women leaders, who will come and do as these 70 did. And he went out, and they went out depending upon the Lord. And boy, when they came back, they said, Lord, I cannot believe. We cannot believe what has happened. The impact of what we were doing. We proclaimed the word of God, and the Spirit of God moved among us, and they were awed. So if there are no adult leaders, then there are no clubs. We call ourselves to rally to the Berean Youth Clubs, an honored and long-standing tradition among us. And then to rally to another weekday ministry, Berean Tapes and Publications, that also had a divine origin and start here at Berean Church, as we began in a very small way recording the sermons and to put it on tape, first for college students and then for people of the congregation who wanted. And then we used to have up in that room two levels of tape recorders, and people put their tapes up there, put their cassette tapes in, and when I hit the button up here, those tape recorders would all go into motion, and everything would be recorded up there. People would go up there, get their tapes, put in a new one, ready to go. So it had a humble beginning, but what motivated it was the people esteemed the Word of God. They thought it was important to know what God thinks, and they knew that the only place that could come to them from was Scripture. So these Bible study tapes, all of you are well acquainted with them, expository preaching instruction on the cassette tapes, and we send these free of charge to people, even in the distant places, who want them. If you're positive, we're happy to provide them. I'm constantly listening to the radio as I drive along, and people are announcing, hey, you can get a tape of this program, $5. And I've yet to hear anybody say, if you can get a tape of this program, just ask us. We're happy to share, and I'm talking about Christian programs, we're happy to share the Word of God with you. Well, we have done this, and the Lord has enabled us to have the money to provide. I mean, it wasn't within the first, when we decided, I mean, it was within the first few months. I cannot remember now how many times somebody got our tape, and we weren't anywhere near sophisticated in what we were doing then as we are now. And all of a sudden, in the mail, you know, we'd say, your gifts are welcome, and that covers the cost of operation. Many times, total strangers from some part in the country sent in a $1,000 check. And that's when I got the clue that God would provide and that the Word of God was alive and active and that there are people out there in religious organizations whose hearts were longing to know what God thinks and not what man presumes. So our tapes are valuable in part because of the frame of reference from which we preach, the theological position of Berean Church. And you don't want to forget that. Somebody today said that some friend of theirs, some young person, was going to go to, thought they start attending the Episcopal Church. And this is a kid who should know better. The Episcopal Church, that's the Roman Catholic Church without a pope. And you're a Christian, a biblical Christian, and you don't know better than to say, I think I'll attend the Episcopal Church. And with all the sacramental approach, you know, it's what you do. You perform something. You eat the bread of the Lord's Supper, and you get grace. You drink the wine, you get grace. And here you have grace given to you on the basis of your works. That's an oxymoron. That's two things that contradict itself. If it's works, Scripture says, it's not grace. And yet, here's a whole organization built on, you want to get to God, as the Catholics do the sacraments, and grace will come to you, and eventually you may get to heaven. But here we separate what the reformers, good men that they were, tremendous work that they did in bringing medieval Christianity back to the Bible. They didn't live long enough, and they didn't have the frame of reference of the fact that Israel and the church were two different bodies of believers, two different works of God. And most churches don't know that. The Bible churches generally understand the difference between Israel and the church, and that Israel has not been cast off by God, but she has simply been set aside because she rejected her Messiah Savior, and God is doing another work of bringing in the body of Christ, believers who will be related to the Lord Jesus Christ as a bride is related to her husband, and a body of Christians who will be running the millennial world, will be ruling it. All of you will have a part, an official part, in guiding and administering the millennial kingdom of Christ when he returns. But Israel has seven more years of its predicted time schedule that was revealed in the book of Daniel. It's never been fulfilled. That seven-year period is what is described in the book of the Revelation. How do most churches treat the book of the Revelation? that it was all fulfilled by 70 A.D. I noticed one time I went to Dallas Seminary, and they have a place where students can sell books that they don't want anymore, theological books. And I looked, and there was a set of books on the expositions of John Calvin, one of the Protestant reformers who picked up on Martin Luther's principles at the time. And here was this long volume of books on every book of the Bible that John Calvin wrote an exposition on. One book was missing. Guess which one? The book of the Revelation. He had no commentary on Revelation. He didn't know up from down. And yet it was a key book to understand Christianity and Judaism. Martin Luther, same thing. You can get commentaries in all the books of the Bible written by Luther, except one. He had no commentary on Revelation. See what that was telling us? They never understood the distinctiveness of the church age, which began on the day of Pentecost and which is going to end on the day of the rapture. But you do. And because of that, that is our frame of reference from which we preach, and that is what is on those tapes. What people receive is instruction based on God's various dealings with people through eras of time, dispensations we call them. Adam and Eve had one way of life. Everything was perfect. They had a point of testing. It was that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God says, here's your life. Enjoy it to the full. Enjoy one another in this garden. Everything you need is provided. Just don't eat of that tree. And that was the way of life for them. They broke that. They did eat. Came to an end. And another way of life was brought in. A more complicated one that preceded our way of life, the church way of life, is the law. That was a way of life. 613 rules in the Old Testament that were to be kept. But Paul said the law never was given in order to teach people how to be saved or to lead them to salvation. It was only given to show how degenerate and evil man is and how he cannot save himself. God has to provide. The law told you what the moral code was, but you had no power to do it. So we teach people that there's a difference between the dispensation of the law and the dispensation of grace, where the indwelling Holy Spirit and the full body of Scripture in the New Testament enables us to take the moral code and we can keep it. We have the capacity to do right. It's, again, a matter of the choice of our will. And we recognize that Jesus Christ is going to come before the thousand-year kingdom here on this earth to rule on this earth. We realize that that is the promise. Has never been fulfilled. He will come to do that. And we also understand that we, the church, are not going to be in that time of enormous suffering and turmoil, that seven-year tribulation period. That doesn't begin until the rapture has taken us out of here. Then it clicks in, and Israel's last terrible years will come about. And the Antichrist will come beyond the scene. He goes to Israel's leader and say, accept me as your Messiah, and I will protect you. You may rebuild your temple. I'll protect you from the Arabs. One of our ladies this morning asked me if I'd read a book. It's a book, Where Did All This Begin? I'm not acquainted with it, but she said it was telling about the nature of Ishmael, the son of Abraham by the Egyptian woman, when Abraham foolishly let his wife talk him into helping God fulfill the promise of a descendant through whom Christ would eventually be born. And she said, it is amazing. You read in Scripture what Ishmael was like, a very crude man, a guy who was always fighting, a guy who was never at peace. And you read about him, those little bit of what it says in Scripture, you realize that Ishmael was one bad dude. And there from him have come all the Arabs. And they're just like their progenitor. And she said, it's a fascinating book to see that what is happening today to the Jewish people all began back there in the tents of Abraham with Hagar, the Egyptian woman, and the birth of Ishmael. Now that is the frame of reference of what is happening in the world today. And the horrible, virtually daily killing of Jews is all because of the fact that Israel rejected its Messiah, and it is bringing the Jew every day closer to where they're going to change their mind. They'll do this at the end of the tribulation and the closing down of the Armageddon battle, and they'll say, yes, we were wrong. The rabbis were wrong. Our parents were wrong. Christ is the Messiah, and the nation will be born. So our frame of reference, I tell you all this to know that we are a dispensational. That doesn't mean that there's different ways of being saved. Everybody from Adam on is saved by a gift from God, but their way of life is different in order to demonstrate what man is. So we are a dispensational, premillennial, pre-tribulation rapture church. It took the middle of the 19th century when there was a great revival of Bible study before people finally realized that God's program with Israel is on hold, and all of his promises that I'll never go back on what I promised Abraham and David and about the land, the whole bit, and that God's new thing, the church, would come to an end as a separate operation of God. The church includes Jews and Gentiles. Israel included only Jews and maybe Gentiles who became proselytes to the nation. So, because we understand that difference, when we explain Scripture, we don't contradict Old Testament passages. We have Scripture, which is actually literally, can be taken as literally true of what we are talking about. And when that is not understood, and the frame of reference of where history is moving, then you will get a lot of things confused. And the reformers did. They just could not put things together. Our evangelism brochure is also important for the same reason. It's hard for people to hear the gospel. Every now and then somebody reads, one of you reads the evangelism brochure through, I do it once in a while, and I'm impressed that just the way it's presented. Every now and then Wayne Cross, when we'd get together, he'd say, you know, I read the brochure again. He said, that is such a clear presentation of the gospel. And that is, when you finish, you know that it isn't just somebody, some religious leader's or denomination's opinion. It is based upon Scripture. And it's all there. And you know that it's the Word of God. One of the team's friends called me and on the phone said, I've read that brochure. It is magnificent. And I want to thank you and commend you for the way you put down legalism, that nobody's going to be saved through a sacramental system of something that people can do, because that is what most people are blinded about. So we have no idea of how many people are going to be in heaven because of the Berean Evangelism brochure that your presence and your money and your sympathy makes possible and is being distributed in major languages of the world. French will go online soon, and probably, from the seafarer's request, Italian next. And we don't know too much Italian. Bonjour sounds Italian to me. And we'll try to work that in someplace and go from there. So we rally also to the fact that the computer website is now pouring in orders. We get orders for that. And it is people, by this means, who are looking up, they're finding us. Be nice to have a bigger facility. Be nice to have the old laundromat over here to turn into Brientation publication. Talk about a prayer request, that'll be a mountain mover. That'll be one. As expensive as that would be now. But we do praise God for our staff of the tape ministry, people who, unsung heroes, they could be doing something else, but they're not. They show up here, they walk in here while we are on beds of ease and something else, and they're up there cranking out tapes, sending them out, going to the post office. We now have, we ordered 5,000 copies of Tagalog dialect in the Philippines, a major dialect that they have passed out the other 5,000, and the machine ran off something like 6,500. I suppose an act of God, we might say. So we got 6,500 for our 5,000 payment. And we're going to start sending those 1,000 at a time to the Philippines, where for 10 cents they can put the insides in it, the pages, to print the inside part, the translation that they have. So that's what we're doing, which is very serious. So we call upon us to rally to tapes and to the evangelism brochure and the outreach to the world under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And we call upon you to remember that you have a part in that evangelism brochure. It is so easy not to want to take the trouble to have those in your car, in your glove compartment, on your person in some way, when you go about your daily business, you're in contact with people, that you can hand this to them. Always in a brochure, in an envelope. People look at that and say, contents might save your life. They're interested in that. That catches their attention. And it could be a clerk at a store. At their leisure, they can put it aside. They can go back to reading it. But what is Christian service? Christian service is not doing something else. What is distribution of evangelism brochures? It is not doing something else. It is picking them up off that table, walking out of here with a supply of brochures and envelopes in Spanish, in English, whichever you need, and passing them out. You just are conscious that you are the Lord's messenger. And if you do that, people will get the word, and our Father in heaven will never forget it. And you will be blessed in both time and eternity. God hears and esteems the prayers of people and the ministry of this congregation, because we are a bright and shining lighthouse of divine viewpoint orientation and blessing. And you must never forget that. We are a lighthouse. Easy to forget it because we're so used to it. But every now and then I have an occasion to be out there in the world system, and I have to sit there even with churches descended from the Reformation, and I have to shake my head on the confusion, on the human viewpoint, and on the total emptiness of what they're doing. Isn't it nice to be able to walk up to an offering box with complete freedom and know that you're investing your money for something that's going to have eternal impact? How many ways and how many times and how many places can you do that? Take it seriously. We thank God for Berean tapes and publications and the outreach that it has. There are people that will be all over heaven because we did this and we rallied to this ministry. And may God bless you for supporting it.